The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Are you ready, Rick?
I guess I'm ready.
Rick, are you ready to start this Rock'em Sock'em Comedy Store podcast?
Man, I couldn't be in a better mood.
I love that about you.
Feels good to be back, feel alive. Are we recording?
We're recording.
This is it?
This is on.
This is it. The professionalism has not changed on this podcast. Pandemic or not, we still don't know what the fuck we're doing.
True. And BC, we didn't know what the fuck we're doing. And
this is episode 7,436. We have, to date, made $36. Split between two people.
That's true. We do have
because we're good business people.
And then I think I gave it to the gentleman who I would have upload it because I'm half an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe full blown, but
I
didn't make shit yet. But we have a great guest today.
We got Mr. Earl Skakel here.
Earl Skakel, we have royalty in the house.
The pleasure is all mine.
Wow.
Well, I mean, the wall behind you is black. I'm nervous.
Wow.
Wait a minute. That's so weird. Hey, Tommy.
Come by for fish tacos and a beautiful music acoustic show.
Are you working with Jay Davis?
Okay.
I like the wall behind me a lot better.
Sir.
Can't get
I like
any
that
wider.
You made him like a Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah,
sir. Hi.
We're going to put a Yorkie on at 10:30. And Don Richardson and Darwin Hines. And then I'm getting the hell out of it.
I had to tell Yarcy to quit showering.
Guys, if you're new here.
They're not.
No, I have my brother-in-law listens, Gus, now. So if that's we're new, not. Gus, that's Tommy, the Old Town coordinator. I'll talk specifically to Gus. How exciting.
One of your brothers hit me up on Facebook and was just like talking a lot of shit about the family these days.
Oh, Johnny. Yeah.
Could
yeah.
be. No, I just saw it. I'm like, I'm not responding. I'm not getting
oh,
involved.
Oh, you can respond. He's
I'm not
okay.
getting involved in a...
He can't fight.
Social media battle with a Kerrigan.
Look.
There's too many of you. That's the last thing
That's
I need.
That's GQ Johnny. He's just handsome.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's not a fighter.
Oh,
he's
didn't,
handsome.
I didn't realize sure. he was good looking. That
oh,
changes
yeah.
everything.
Everything.
Who's the baseball player? Jimmy,
That's
right?
my nephew, Jimmy. Oh. Little Jimmy. That's my brother Jimmy's son.
Your brother Jimmy's son?
You my have brother, a brother Jimmy.
You have a brother Jimmy?
Yeah.
My God.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Very Irish Catholic.
So he named his son after himself.
100%.
Nice.
Jimmy. You don't do that? Not yeah. Earl.
I'm going to name all my kids Earl
He's
Jr.
on the other side. Are you going to do that?
I'm not going to have any kids, man.
50. Why,
just
Earl?
Like that?
I'm 53, and I don't want to be 60, and I'm a 7-year-old, like, you know.
You don't have...
Maybe. Who knows?
Nah, you can do
I'm
it.
A great uncle.
You would be... Are you good at being an uncle?
Oh, yeah.
I'm an excellent aunt.
I give dolls and, you know...
Wait a minute.
Rambo knives.
Nice.
Now that I like. Rambo knives.
Yeah, well, it's a wacky world we're living in. You got to stock up in case.
Be prepared.
In case the natives break in.
Wait a minute. They're called indigenous.
Yes, completely indigenous people. Earl, are you not, what is that called? My brain is dead.
Woke?
Woke.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
or,
yeah. I mean, you know.
What the fuck am
You
I
can't
thinking?
Cancel me. Like, what are you going
to
say?
Oh, yeah.
Take,
why
like,
can't we
$20
cancel?
$20 spots on a Thursday night. Like,
aren't you on the jellies? Don't you say racial stuff on the jellies?
But I get paid for that. Oh, so, okay. like, it's a dream job.
What's the jellies on? What is that? Comedy Central?
It's on. No. That's too good of a show for that network.
Snap.
It's on.
100% accurate.
Well, am I wrong? Though? Like, you know, no. Look at what they did to Roast Battle. Butchered the most simple show of all time.
It is a pretty simple.
Yeah.
But like you guys would be
In
great.
All fairness, that show butchered itself with existence.
Why would you say that with Jeff Ross taking on an NBA player who's never done it before?
Wait a minute.
It seems like a fair fight.
Great season 3.
Why are you saying
He's talking directly to people.
I'm doing a wrestling promo right now.
I love this.
I mean, I'm on.
Do a wrestling promo for it, like if you had to promote that show.
Roast Battle. You know, maybe the worst season three of any TV show in recorded history. Wow. You got the Sklar Brothers battle, which was stiffer than a Lexington steel boner. Nice. You've got Jeff Lifshitz battling Blake Griffin. Yeah, there's a guy who screams comedy.
he's kind of Sinbad-ish in his appearance.
Oh, yeah. Good
Blake
call.
Griffin?
Yeah.
Well, he's like a weird dude because he's black, but he looks white, so he you know.
The yeah. black howdy doody.
Yeah, he's got freckles and stuff, and then
a reddish hue.
Like the great yeah. Dennis Johnson. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, DJ.
Freckles, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's not a great pro. Give me a couple minutes to amp up.
I watched a video today. Facebook suggested it, and, you know, it was one of those times where I'm like, I'm listening. And it was someone interviewing Randy Savage where he was talking about what a punk Hulk Hogan is. And it wasn't like a wrestling promo for wrestling. It was them
so it was
talking.
Real.
It was talking to him for real.
Got Those are the best ones.
Yeah.
And he's like, his real name is Terry Bollea. Okay. My name.
What was something? Puff?
Lanny Poffo. No, yeah. Poffo. I forget his.
Yeah. Something Poffo.
When he's like, that's my real name. Okay. And what I'm saying is, I'll fight Hulk Hogan first real wrestling match of all time. We'll give all the money to the children's charity.
And the guy interviewing him is just looking at him like, he's like, look at what? What are you talking about? He's like,
why do you hate the children, Hulk? Why don't you want to help the sick kids, Hulk Hogan?
Just like, it turned into.
That's amazing.
It just turned into him yelling, and he keeps referencing there's just this large black dude behind him. And he's like,
You know, we did the album together, man. There's only one hate track on that album, and it's about you, Hulk Hogan.
It's probably Junkyard Dog, you know.
This had to be years after JYD passed. This looks like it's maybe like 2 years before Savage hit the tree.
That's amazing that it's just making its round.
Yeah, well.
Or maybe it's just.
Obviously, the algorithm was like, let's give Rick something to really enjoy himself with.
This is important.
Yeah.
Let's get this in the algorithm the right the proper way.
Please tell me you guys have seen the hour-long video that the Ultimate Warrior basically interviews himself.
I don't know if I've seen an hour's worth.
There is a 7 minute. I'm telling you right now, it's the greatest. There's so much bitterness in this man, and he just for an hour talks shit about Hulk Hogan. Like, you're a real piece of shit, Terry. And,
everyone hate Hulk Hogan?
Well, I think everyone hated Warrior too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And
okay.
Then he's like me. You know, he was very bitter, very angry at the business.
Sure.
So, when you watch this, do you think, hey, maybe I shouldn't be as bitter?
Yeah, I do until he forgave everyone at the Hall of Fame ceremony, and then he died the next day.
Yeah, so you don't want to do that.
Isn't it ironic?
So yeah. I can't let
don't
go.
Don't you think?
No, it's I'm like Rambo. It wasn't my war. They didn't ask
me. I didn't start this war.
I didn't start it. Comedy Central started it.
Take him down.
I beat Jimmy Carr. I should have gotten on all three seasons.
You're 100% right.
Sorry.
And Jimmy Carr was...
Jimmy Carr was the man.
That limey son of a bitch.
I'm not a big fan of the English, but
I love him. He's great.
Right.
He keeps it 100, as the kids say.
I'm willing to let him stay in this country if and only if he's willing to do a Mr. Belvedere reboot.
I like where you're going with this.
I'd like to step into the euchre part, but at the same time, I know I don't deserve fucking euchre. So
okay,
we're gonna have to find. You know, shit. We might just get euchre back.
He's available.
He's still available. He's still hanging out waiting for that.
You gotta
waiting
take
for
the
that
gigs.
Reboot. Everything's being rebooted because one can think of anything.
A Black Wonder Years. What the?
Hey, Tommy.
Listen.
I'm sorry. I was out of character. Well, I mean, it's a wonder it got made, see? I mean, what's going on? They probably stole everything on the set, see?
What I don't understand about the Black Wonder Years is how was the 60s in Alabama Wonder Years for a black family. I mean, the Wonder Years is literally a reference to these were the golden ages.
Right.
Got it.
This was before society modernized to the terrible fucking plague that it is now.
Yeah.
So, you know, for that white family growing up in suburban America or whatever it was, it made sense. Those were the Wonder Years. But now it's like, wait, this is like the worst years to be a black family in Alabama.
Yeah, I mean,
what's next? I couldn't watch the white one either.
I knew the kid who played the a-hole brother because he was a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Jason Hervey.
Wayne.
Yeah, so.
Kind of like a
he was friends with
head.
Bischoff.
Yeah, that's how I knew him. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, I mean, what's next? A White Roots?
Want to do a White
Pitch
Roots?
It.
I would do it. I'll play the LeVar Burton part. Wasn't he the new host of Jeopardy? He was up for the running, but you know they were.
Oh, my God. He was good, too. Yeah. The only reason I know that is because my mom watches Jeopardy every night.
Religiously, yeah.
Yes. And so.
It's part of her generation.
100%. And I was like, oh, wow. This guy's really good.
Word on the street was he had a very happy fan base that was pushing for it, but he was not that good at doing it because he didn't apparently understand all the elements of Jeopardy. He's not a Jeopardy guy.
Right.
Meaning the rules or
like
the...
he needed to get I guess word from the producers throughout the show because he was unfamiliar with how everything worked. And then when the guy who made the decision picked himself in one of the greatest Hollywood producer moments ever. You know, we've had a lot of really great guest hosts and I think the best choice is probably going to be me.
I like that.
And then they were like, what about this podcast where you were just misogynistic and racist? And he was like, I'm just going to produce. And then they were like, no, you can't do that either. He's like, I took the podcast down. And they're like, it's too late. It's already out there.
Can you imagine?
My God.
If they start doing deep dives on podcast episodes.
Oh, we're dead. I'm never going to work anyway. I'm really never going to work.
It's the only chance I have is if someone digs something up, tries to create a little controversy.
Maybe.
And then I double down. I refuse to apologize.
There we go.
I let them know, look, if you're offended, I apologize for nothing.
Not
and then
one
I,
thing.
Then I spend the next, you know, 6 years touring in pro-Rogan territories.
See
I
in
love
Austin.
All of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See in Austin. Have you gone down to Austin and performed?
I went for 24 hours. I just want to say,
wow.
Let me see if I like
quick.
It. And it
only takes you 24 hours to find out if you like a place.
Yeah, yeah. I don't need to stay there 2-3 days and hang out with the Kill Tony crowd.
Cowboy
Wait, but
Tony.
Did you do shows?
Texas
with Cowboy
Tony.
Kill
I did
Tony?
One show.
Kill Cowboy Tony?
I did a Thursday night Death Squad show. That was true. Very lovely.
That's a great at the Vulcan, right?
Yeah,
that's a cool spot.
Yeah, I like it. I don't know if it's like tailor made for comedy. It kind of reminded
Not
me of
really.
Lovitz.
It's kind of yeah,
like
the Lovitz Club up at
Universal.
Universal?
Yeah,
I went in once. I was supposed to be on a show, and then I got there, and they were like, "Oh, we actually didn't put you on the schedule. So what we'll do is we'll just throw you on at the end." And I went,
"Oh, great!
I'm just gonna leave.
I don't even think
there's
Lovitz...
nine people here. I'm
yeah.
not gonna wait."
He
an
didn't
hour
even play
and 45
there.
Minutes.
I don't think he ever did. For a while, they had a guy that used to run the improv.
Frank.
It, Frank. And I love Frank. And he tried, but it was just, I think it was a lose-lose situation.
Well, I think it was the lineups. They were like very
the lineups,
flapper-esque.
Who
yeah.
was willing to go there?
It was terrible. I'd never even heard of any of the
Some
people.
Some of the people, you're yeah. right. I'd be like, oh, who are you? Now people bring up a certain person, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember them from Lovitz, but they don't work anywhere else. Yeah.
The worst club to me on the planet at this point is the Long Beach Laugh Factory.
Not well, big enough.
Not big enough.
It could be a little bigger.
The last time I was there, it was only the
ironic.
Second time ever that there was more than 20 people in that giant
yeah.
auditorium.
I've
and
done
so
it
like,
full, though.
Yeah.
I've done it full.
For it with Dice? Like
Dom I Rare one time.
Oh, okay.
Or two times with Dom in the very beginning. And then, no, Dice has never gone down there.
Last time I went, they came up to me and they said, hey, just so you know, Trey Stewart's going to bump you. And then you can go on. And I literally decided I'll never perform there ever again.
Did it come to you who that is yet? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I want to play it cool.
Smart.
Because, like...
Nice enough dude, from what
very
I remember.
Nice. Very nice,
I mean,
sweet guy.
But,
funny, too.
Very funny, but when you get fired...
Not bumped funny. Not bumped...
Definitely not...
Credit
yeah.
funny yet.
What's respect to you?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like... even the other night, I was asked if a non-paid regular could get some time before me here. I'm like, are you crazy? Like, this is, like, out of control. Hey, do you mind if so-and-so goes up, you know?
On a regular line?
Yeah. And I do mind, you know. So
who?
I don't want to mention names.
No,
I'm
no,
trying
no.
to, I'm trying to be a better person.
Okay. I'm glad. I'm happy for you.
I'll tell you, nothing in the world makes me angrier than people trying to be better people.
And I'm not
going to bring down the
you,
system.
But I want to know, who came up to you and said, put this person up? That's not
a
right.
bigger comic who's like, hey, my friend, you know, like,
yeah, but it's not open mic.
Yeah, this isn't Flappers in the Yoo-Hoo Room. You know, it's the number one club in the country.
I love that you say the Yoo-Hoo Room, so specific.
I mean, this is out of control, some of you people here, thinking that this is like an open audition and Emily doesn't have enough comics already and you want to try and muscle in your friends.
That's ridiculous.
Trash. It's over.
Are they? Oh, and they were just a non-paid regular?
A non-paid regular, meaning... but a paid regular came up to me and said, hey, they're in town. Great. I'm glad they're in town. Go to the Improv or Supernova. I'm sure you could get on that lineup.
But hold on. I'm so confused. Did they ever work here at all?
No.
So they had no affiliation.
No affiliation.
Because you're saying non-paid regular. And to me, Mitzi used to make people non-paid regulars.
He's just saying,
I'm not going to pay you.
A non-comedy store comic.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking they're in our rotation.
No,
and they decided they needed to go
they
up.
They said, hey, there's no
right.
There's no decision makers here. Maybe I can just push my friend in by asking the comics.
Right.
And no one has to know about them.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, out of control. Go to Supernova on Whitley Avenue.
Why do these things happen to
you? Hey, Rick, how come we never went to Pearl Jam together, man?
Well, Saratella, probably because we're not really fucking friends. It would be the main thing.
Then I had a guy today. I didn't even want to do that show, to be honest with you.
Which one?
Supernova.
I like Supernova. I have no problem with it.
I do.
I'm supposed to do my first one in 2 weeks if I don't get canceled for that impression I just did, but...
I mean, Mark doesn't care. He's fine.
He does. He's in the weeds wearing
he really doesn't care. Yeah.
Liberace jackets now.
Smart.
But I'm saying that show, I didn't mind doing it. And then especially during the pandemic, it was like outdoors. It was one of the better of the outdoors. Probably best of the outdoors. Well, Jam and the Vam's pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah, Josh Adams. He's a killer.
I would never perform at either one of those shows.
Jam in the Van?
Are you
kidding?
The lineups that Jam in the Van has been putting up on social media are some of the worst bullshit I've ever seen.
Yeah, but
in my
I think
life.
You're saying right, that now I'm talking about all of a sudden Earl's doing push-ups.
It's like, we'll send you a location for our shitty ass show. We've but got one headliner and a bunch of trash.
You're saying now, but like I got lucky. I was doing it.
I wouldn't have done
it. You could say it.
I wouldn't have done it during the pandemic.
Uh huh.
When I saw people doing that shit, I'm like, this is the saddest thing of all time.
Wow.
Well, I had someone affiliated.
Such fun shows there.
With Supernova going, hey, why don't you come next week and watch the show?
Okay, that's psychotic.
And oh, it gets worse. And then maybe Saratella will get you a future date. Okay, so I'm seeing Roast Battle Comics go on who eat shit burgers the size of Ralphie Mae's house.
Why are you...
My God. he knows what he's doing. This is a man who understands... how you connect with the people.
20, you got to look into the camera.
It's eye contact, Ellen.
I'm telling you.
I'm dead.
Watch the Warrior video.
Let me tell you something. Jam in the Van?
Yeah, Jam in the Van.
How come you don't love the kids?
You're booking Eddie Ift and six open micers. This is out of control. I'm a paid regular at the number one club in the country, and you're asking me to go watch a show with a bunch of ham and eggers.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Not Edgars. Eggers.
Ham and eggers.
Out of control.
Grand slammers.
And then I got a Supernova booker asking me for help to get in at the Comedy Store. So I can't get booked at Supernova, but you want me to help you get in the number one club in the country? I don't think so.
Whoa.
Jack.
Now that.
You're a real piece of shit, Terry. Sorry.
Why are you trying to get the kids in the van, huh? Why are you trying to jam the kids in the van?
That'll probably get me booked.
That's a whole different thing, Randy. I don't know if that's what you meant.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, hating the kids and getting them in a van are two different things.
That'll probably headline you somewhere.
What?
You can get spots at the factory if you're fucking kids.
Oh, I got on the all-female show at the factory. I did very
well. By the way, I saw that. I love that it's like funniest females, and then it's like three guys and two girls. I'm like, whoa, what's happening?
And
that's my friend Katie. I love you.
I love Katie Carzola.
One of my favorites.
Awesome.
Never heard of her. She's trash.
But when you have a funniest, and you could have a funny male lineup. Females have nothing to do with it. but not one picture is of them on stage. They're voguing with their Zed card shots from 88. It's
did
over.
You pull out a Zed card?
Yeah.
That is fucking hilarious.
But you know when you see
do
a flyer?
Do still use Zed cards?
I use mine for work.
Are you shitting me?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't even know what that is.
Well,
that's three different.
I'll show you, dude. Interface model management.
This sounds before my time.
Earl and I are a little
older
than you, Ricky.
I'm old, man.
Ricky.
I'm 53, but I can play 50.
I love that you keep
easy.
Giving your age.
I don't mind it. Like,
me
you know,
either. I don't care. People run up and ask all the time. Somebody hit me up on Instagram. They were like, I've looked everywhere, all over online, and I'm thinking they're getting mad because they couldn't find, I don't know, a certain stand-up maybe. And he goes, oh, we couldn't figure out how old you were. And I was like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
I mean,
why
I think it's how
is
you
that
act.
Such a...
It's important.
Well, if we go by how I act, I shouldn't be in this club because I'm a toddler.
Yeah, but you should have been on The Funniest Female.
Well, no. Okay, so I've done that show, but we were talking about Love It's, right? And I remember I did this all-girl show, and it was... I forget what the name of it was, but they were so excited. It's going to be all females. We're strong. They put a fucking dude up in the middle.
Yeah.
He bombed for 25 solid motherfucking minutes.
Yeah.
And I was on toward the end. I think I was the last comic. And Lizzie
Headliner.
Cooperman.
Headliner.
Yes.
I love Lizzie.
Lizzie, one of my favorites, went up with her keyboard.
Keyboard.
The worst
fucking
thing I've ever
destroyed
heard.
Destroyed that guy. I was screaming laughing. It was so good.
Keyboard comedy is not allowed.
Yeah, Perry Kurtz. I did the show with Perry Kurtz where he's tonguing his keyboard.
Now, he worked here before, and I don't remember him. He constantly says he's a store comic, but I don't remember him.
Well, his name's on the wall.
Right, so that had to be 70s? So,
I think early 80s, and then I just did a show with him at a bar where he's tonguing his keyboard playing Cashmere or something. I don't know.
No.
What was
Cashmere, that's pretty impressive.
And then he's like, Earl, I don't know why I don't get booked at the store anymore. I'm like, well, I could probably think of about seven reasons.
Most of them involve Cashmere on your piano.
My favorite was somebody kept hitting me up. I forget what social media thing it was, but kept saying, hey, can you get Dice? Perry needs to get in touch with Dice. He wants to talk to him. It's very important. He talks to him right now. I'm like, so I just ignore it, right?
Yeah, smart.
And then, I'm not going to do. So one day I said to Andrew, I said, do you know Perry Kurtz? And he was like, it sounds familiar. And then I showed him a picture. He goes, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He'd be at the store. Right. But the way this guy was hitting me up, you would think him and Dice had...
were homies.
Maybe slept together a few
times. Maybe.
It
was the 80s.
You know...
He was Dice's Carl LeBeau, a lot of people were saying.
Right. But it's like, what the fuck are you saying? Like, who... And I'm like, if he can't get in touch with Ant, then he doesn't know him.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You don't have to know him, but you can't... The guy was... It got to the point where after 8 emails, he was threatening me. And I just ignored it. I don't block people. I just enjoy your anger and not opening the rest of your emails.
Well, I don't block people. What I do is I give their number to a gambling service.
Wow.
And they're relentless. If you have
smart.
An enemy, you go, call me at 818. You give the person's number.
That's a good idea.
I'm a player. I bet 5 dimes a game. And they'll call that number for 6 months straight. It's great.
It's good to know.
I'm all about revenge.
I'm not a player. I just crush a lot.
Yeah. Hello.
But hey.
instead
that's
of giving out,
oh, it's amazing.
Instead of giving out the phone number, what I like to do is break into their home and cut their throat.
That's so weird.
Well, that'll probably headline you at Supernova.
That's my favorite. See how you're staring in the camera. Ricky would do that.
Well, I just watch when I get
give
depressed.
A little muggy.
I get depressed every now and then, so I watch wrestling promo videos. So I just I see how they work.
Get you pumped up.
Do you still watch regular wrestling?
I watch AEW because Sting is in there, and I'm only like 8 years younger than Sting. So like,
does he still wrestle like actual wrestle, or is it just like Sting is here?
They have this guy Darby Allin take the bumps, and then Sting no sells the other guy's moves. It's pretty funny. Like someone will put Sting through a table, and he just stands up like this, and it gets me. I got hard
I love
the other
no
night.
No sells. That's
well, it's
amazing.
Funny. Like when they no sell, you're like, oh, you're basically exposing the business. This doesn't really
100%.
Hurt. This guy is 61 years old. If it's gonna hurt anyone, it's our 61-year-old.
Sting's got it though.
I mean,
that's pretty impressive. My brother Charlie still watches every Monday, every Friday.
A guy I grew up with, he lives in Texas, and his daughter plays volleyball. I think she's like in middle school or something. But his daughter's team was playing against the Undertaker's daughter's team. And the reports on watching the Undertaker try and stand up from the bleachers, he was like, you could hear the popping in his legs. And
I mean,
I was like, oh, that's brutal.
My ex used to manage Motorhead, or still does, and so they did Triple H's music, so we got to go backstage at WrestleMania.
It's amazing.
It was, because I was there to see Eugene, who...
my favorite retard wrestler.
Played. I mean, you talk about how some guys in wrestling
my
don't
favorite
get,
retard
he was
wrestler.
The retarded nephew of Eric Bischoff.
Canceled.
No, I mean, it's
he
true, though.
Wrestle.
That was his gimmick, though.
Right, that was he was like a he was a legit wrestler,
yeah.
But he would be like, and then
the gimmick was that he had retard strength.
Yeah, and so this WrestleMania they had Muhammad Hassan, an Arab wrestler who was clearly playing a terrorist, beating the shit out of a retarded guy.
How?
And then Hulk Hogan comes, makes a save. I've never been so hard in my life, like.
Rock hard.
Well, Terry, how come you like the retards, but you don't like the sick children, huh?
Well, you want the greatest wrestling heel speech. It was this wrestling 9/11 when Hogan turned bad guy. Because he had never turned bad guy.
Switch. Yeah.
Bash
yes.
at the Beach, 96. It was Lex Luger and Sting against Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. But Lex Luger and Sting had a... There he is. There's Eugene. Look at this guy's like a legit
goodness.
Wrestler. Like he was a wrestler.
So
and
wrestling can still be on. It's not getting canceled for this.
I mean, look at shout out to the WWE
100%
for how they portrayed African Americans in the 80s. Kamala, look at this. Like this guy's like. A legit athlete, and this is how he had to make his money.
Vince McMahon's like, well, I have a gimmick I'd like you to try.
Yeah, you're going to be a retarded guy. And you're
I
gonna
would
be...
say Mitzi could have been a great wrestling manager.
Yeah, you could have Tanya Lee Davis play like...
Well, if you just wear the turban, Maj Jabrani can be the Iranian. Iranian.
Can you pull up Muhammad Hassan? Like, no, you've got to see this guy. He was... Like in the height of the Iraqi war, they had an Arab wrestler who they captured the Undertaker, and he had like his like Taliban characters.
Right.
It was insane.
I loved in the early 90s when Sergeant Slaughter turned suddenly. He was, what, my best friend, Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
He's an Iraqi sympathizer.
Suddenly the Iron Sheik is Colonel Mustafa.
Oh, there he is.
I mean, look, this
would be
this
right
poor
up
guy.
Mitzi's alley.
And he was Mexican. Oh. He's Mexican in real life. Like, this guy worked a cook, that El Tocho. That's when he and
El
his
Tocho would kill it. Is that me? He's gotten a hold.
Can
do
one more? I know we're not like at a radio station, but can you pull up his manager Davari, who was like, no, he was like this Iranian guy in a white suit.
By the way, I know what I'm going to be next Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, look at this.
Oh
like
my
this is
God.
Like, but you got to understand, this is the height of the Iraqi war, and they're wearing like Taliban.
It's
look
hysterical.
At the idiots in the crowd crying. This one guy in the white hat's crying.
This ain't right.
I mean, that's the guy. He's not in the white suit there, but this guy was, he had to have been a comic. He had some comedy training.
That is so good. I mean, I always joke about that. Mitzi used to do her theme shows. It's fun to be a Jew.
Arabian Nights.
Hilarious. Right. Arabian Nights. Night of 1,000 Guidos.
Was Wheels on that one?
He was.
Yeah.
I invented it.
Someone shared a lineup from Night of a Thousand Guidos.
Who's JJ? And what the hell is this cross promoting?
Francisco.
That's it.
Oh, that's got to be a great podcast.
What's his Francisco Ramos?
Oh, I love him. He's actually. I don't know. The more I talk to him, the more I like him. Like off stage, like
Francisco.
I've never really talked to him before.
He's a sweet guy.
We bonded over something that I won't get into here.
Oh,
brother.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the impression that Jeff Richards does of him, but we seem to enjoy it.
Well, Jeff's
impression. The impression is funny, but it does not sound like me. That's what he always said. Jeff would do it to his face.
It's yeah.
My name is Francisco Ramos, and my tongue is too big for my mouth. That it's funny, but it does not sound like me.
We would just be dying.
Oh, Jeff is.
Everyone does get upset with impressions. Like if someone does an impression of you,
if they're mocking you, kind of.
Yeah, but there's a reason.
Right, but most people do mock when they do an impression.
At the beginning of COVID lockdown, I was doing Jeff Richards' Francisco Ramos impression one day. And
then, oh my God, this
and then
is
Julia
my favorite.
Started doing it. My daughter.
Right.
And so I just had a 4-year-old walking around my house going, my name is Francisco Ramos, and my tongue is too big for my mouth. So eventually I'm like, I got to film that and send it to Francisco.
I think I have a video of it.
And I don't think he thought it was funny either. I posted it on Twitter, so make sure the world
well,
could see it.
Well, we love
Well, he's
Francisco.
Great. He really is a good
no,
person.
No, he's a good person. He's good peeps.
Nice human being.
Very nice.
Slightly better looking than me.
Very good looking guy. He's like a younger Eric Estrada.
Oh,
Officer Frank Poncherello, who once...
Is that Seven Mary 3? Or Seven Mary 4?
Oh, wow. I think it's Seven Mary 3.
Yeah.
That's their call sign.
That was their call sign.
Larry Wilcox, who got fucked
by
Miami Vice.
Oh.
He was supposed to play Sonny Crockett. And they used
him. In Miami Vice?
Yeah, and then they used him for all the
tests.
I never
watched these TV shows. I know of them, but I don't. I never.
They went with Don Johnson.
The first two seasons.
I remember what it was, but we had one TV, and I was number 8. So I didn't get control of what was on TV.
You never watched Crime Story with Dice?
Never.
That's how I became a fan
of
Dice.
I never heard of it.
He was so good.
I never heard of it, yeah.
He was so good.
Now, when you date him, he makes you watch it.
Sure.
I'm kidding.
I would date him just to watch, do like a companion piece.
No, he didn't. Somebody bought it for him. Somebody,
it's so good.
Somebody got it for him, but he hadn't seen it in years, and he couldn't find it. And I told him you're such a big fan of it. So
I send him screenshots when I'm watching Crime Story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, he always texts me back.
He loved doing that, and that was a big deal for him. You know,
it was Michael Mann, prime
it was
Michael Mann,
but
like prime Michael Mann.
I mean, for him, it was so big, and he kept saying, because they were going to cancel it, and he was telling them, like, the network's going to cancel it, and he's telling them, don't cancel it. I promise I'm going to be the biggest comic there is.
But I don't think
like,
it.
Good we pitch. Can't tell the network, hey, don't cancel it. Dice is going to be big.
But it wouldn't have worked.
If he was too big.
Because he was not a side character, but he was like probably the fifth character, so it wouldn't have made sense.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden.
Star power.
But he was amazing. Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. He was
in
it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I almost got me too'd out of here one night doing that on stage. But.
Yeah, that's true. How could anybody. Here's the thing.
Oh, wait.
Of all the shit that goes on here.
It's you, big fat lady.
She's
a great big fat person.
Fat person.
I love that. That's exactly right. She's a great big fat
person. I know.
Hard here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait.
Brilliant.
Would you fuck me?
Dude, when he goes full Bon Jovi, I'm watching one day with my wife, and I'm like, oh, he's about ready to go Bon Jovi. And she's like, what? And I go, oh, he's getting ready to go Bon Jovi. And that's her favorite musician, so she just thinks I'm fucking with her. And then it cuts to him. And she's like, oh, he really does look like Bon Jovi. I'm like, yeah. That's what a serial killer wants.
Well, I remember when I saw that in theaters, it was sold out, so I was in the front row. So, like,
when
he tucks the fruit basket.
He
like,
basically
what?
Teabagged you.
But, like, it was so, like, big on the screen. I was like, what's going on here? And then he pulls back. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Glad Ron Jeremy didn't do that scene. Hey, shout out to Ron Jeremy
for
being Dante's Golden Artist Entertainment number one client. Hey, I had no idea he was a rapist.
Anyway, if you guys are interested, the greatest comedy contest in the history of comedy is getting ready to come up.
Yeah.
What is that?
$45 entry fee. A lot of really big names have been in this thing. Myself, Dante, that is.
Yeah, BET's number one white comic from 30 years ago. I finished 10th place on Last Comic Stand, and now I'm Black Lives Matter. It's like, okay, you didn't seem to be that in Ari Shaffir's video where you're offering basketballs to certain groups on the boardwalk.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
We're going to have to give Dante some spots, okay?
Why?
Well, when I heard the basketball thing, Mitzi told me to give him spots.
Was it Mitzi or the building?
Well,
usually it's the building.
Well, the building likes me.
Yeah. Did Tommy ever say that to you?
Tommy, you know, we were about 2.5 hours in the first episode he did of my podcast.
Oh, that's right. You had Tommy on your podcast.
I had him on twice. Now, the funny thing is, the next day he calls me and says, hey, come back anytime, you know, like thinking he'd be like, oh, I'll come back in a couple months, a year from now. He's like, well, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like,
I got some things to
say. So he comes back. So, I mean, the second one was like Rocky 2. It was good. But the first one, I had every big comic up here.
Rocky 2 was excellent.
I like it better than Rocky.
Okay.
It's a garbage movie.
He hates Rockies.
Every Rocky
I like Rocky 2.
Every Rocky movie except for Rocky 4 is complete trash. Ugh. And Rocky 4 is...
My stomach, I can't listen
to this. It's like a 3 out of 10.
Well, you know, speaking of wrestling...
That's because he doesn't have any good feelings in his life.
About Stallone?
Right? No, any just in life. That's a feel-good movie.
Sly Stallone.
That's a beautiful, feel-good, underdog wins movie.
Pile of trash.
I disagree with I just had the bad guy from Cobra on my podcast, and I'm telling you, I got hard. I'll be honest.
Cobra's great.
You've been hard four or five times on this episode.
All with dudes, too.
All with dudes, like...
A lot of alpha men, really.
I get turned on.
What happened during the pandemic? Did you
get bit
by a gay guy, like Theo Vaughn would say?
I watched a 10-hour documentary on long-haul trucking, and jacked off the last 10 minutes of it.
Smart.
Now I'm doing bits. I grew up in the 80s, so macho movies were like, you know, raw deal. It's a very underrated Schwarzenegger movie where he goes, best line in the movie, the guy stops him in an alley, goes, what's your name? He's like, Joseph P. Brenner. And the guy's like, what's the P stand for? And perfect time, he goes, pussy.
So good.
It's the 80s, though.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
You've never seen Raw Deal?
No.
I'm telling you, you've got to see it.
It sounds next level.
I saw it in Westwood, double feature, Cobra and Raw Deal, and I was hard back then. I'm
getting a rando just thinking about it right now.
I love
80s
action movies.
You saying how hard you are is making me hard.
There you go.
I'm enjoying
it. Pussies.
That's trickle-down erection.
I mean, it's just the 80s. It's just the best.
The
80s
movies. Was so much better.
What's the Arnold movie with Arnold and Alyssa Milano?
Commando.
That's his favorite. That's his absolute favorite.
I just saw that for the first time last year, and I'm watching. I'm like, how did I never see this movie?
Well, the bad guy, Vernon Wells, he had like that fishnet tank top on. It's very gay.
He looks like he walks
mustache.
Straight out. Yeah, mustache. Chain link.
I love
look.
This, Earl. You're going to come out of the closet. I'm loving it.
Closet. I'm in the warehouse.
Hello.
Hello. Pussy was a gateway drug to dick.
West Hollywood has done you in. I love it.
I've seen so much in West Hollywood.
You know, they canceled
Hollywood.
The Halloween carnival, so
yeah.
He's got to get his erections.
Oh, my God.
You think that stopped?
They didn't have.
They had. You think COVID, all the viruses that were 24-hour fitness? Ass eating in the jacuzzi.
It
was out of control.
They survived the 80s. We can walk down Santa Monica Boulevard.
I mean, you know, that's why Jeff Scott,
by the way, shout out to the Comedy Store for following through on their Jeff Scott
100%
Memorial for Halloween.
You guys killed it. You guys killed it once again.
Unbelievable job, guys. That's
really enjoyed
really cool.
it. Jeff came back, pulled off a costume he had trouble with a couple years before he passed, brought that back.
He moved.
Remember
that
big fucking thing.
He put it in my garage.
Oh, really?
He's like, hey, can I use your apartment for storage? I'm like, oh boy, for what?
Cowboy.
And then Aligny comes over because he had to carry it. Shout out to Aligny. By the way, you have to pay him to wear a Brody t-shirt. Just it's like this is the way it works. And that's a little inside baseball, but like some Brody counterfeit shirts out there.
Inside baseball, people get it here because we are kind of inside. We do talk a lot of inside, but I think we.
Let's talk more about what a fucking dipshit Aligny is, can we?
I got no problem with Aligny.
We map it out pretty much, pretty well.
But I had to move Jeff's apartment out. Me, Richie, and Curtis. Boy, I tell you, man.
I saw Rusty Dooley reaching out saying that a lot of his stuff was there, so if everyone could make sure they separate
were very
it and
close.
Collect it.
That was tough, like, to move the 800-pound piano. And then I wish I could say who, but so we're in the courtyard with this 800-pound piano. All the neighbors are watching us because we're making a lot of noise.
Of course, and laughing, probably goofing.
We're goofing around, and someone, I won't say their name, was like, boy, you know, for a gay guy, he sure did pack in a lot of shit.
We know who it was.
I think we know who it was.
Yeah, I mean,
we got
who's
it.
The fucking kid? You're talking about Richard McGriddles.
The neighbor's telling me how he found Jeff because this was the guy who
was the landlord, right? Or
well, no, it was the I guess someone who lived in the building climbed through the window or something. And I'm like, dude, I don't really need to. I want to remember Jeff. The last time I spoke with him, he was happy and all that. And, I don't need you telling me how you found him. Like,
I really do believe he died of a broken heart. I mean. Just this place was his everything.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And this not being here and where he, whether he was getting mad at somebody or whatever he was here. It was his family.
Yeah.
I think, well, you know, somebody said to me, you know, the Comedy Store is kind of messed up because they let Jeff Scott die penniless. And I was like, Jeff Scott lived penniless. Like the Comedy Store is not responsible for someone's what people make.
I don't think he died penniless. I mean, he lived in a pretty cheap apartment.
But he also lived on a fixed income because he got a lot of things from California government for his HIV. So you know, if you are below this level, say, they would give you amazing drugs. Not amazing, but like,
you
could call it welfare, whatever you want to call it, but it was, you know, somebody that didn't make big money. Jeff couldn't have a real job, and this job helped him live comfortably.
Oh yeah,
in Los Angeles, doing what he loved.
I mean, it's a nice neighborhood. I mean,
he lived in a great neighborhood.
He must have had easily $100,000 worth of stuff in like
collecting,
like. Who knows how much some of those costumes were.
Oh, yeah. So. And he lived doing exactly what he wanted to do. So I was like we had a piano player here, Lauren Gold. I had him on. Mm-hmm. Did you interview him with me or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Lauren Gold, she played upstairs for whatever they make. But then now he's with The Who, and I think he switched to somebody else now.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Uriah Heep. Oh,
no. Chicago.
That's a good gig.
It's great.
Yeah, nothing like playing with some bullshit boomer band.
But I don't know how
they should call
the
them.
Horns
the
bullshit Chicago. Boomer band.
There should never be horns in music, period.
What?
But I don't know how they make money.
How do you not get into the horns in Chicago?
But first of all, I've never
music's heard, my shit.
I've never heard a Chicago song that I didn't go, time to change the fucking channel.
No.
Jethro Tull, you're out.
Look away,
Chicago,
it's a bop.
You're out.
Peter Cetera didn't sing. It was the guy who left. The guy who took over for Peter Cetera, you know.
Oh,
Bill something. His name's Bill something. And,
I can't think of it. But
yeah, it was like it was
what,
like the
you
lady.
Do you like The Who?
Well, I to Chicago. I don't know how the band makes money with 12 guys in the fucking band. Like you know, it's like when I saw Cool and the Gang open up for Van Halen.
I was there.
Weren't they great?
Like, great.
Cool the Gang is great.
But like David Lee Roth had to pay for him because apparently the Van Halen brothers were like, we want someone who's going to help sell tickets, like, I don't know, a new metal band. And David Lee Roth was like, I'm a Cool and the Gang fan. So he had to pay for Cool. He paid for Cool and the Gang to be the only band. And it's like, there's like 20 fucking members in Cool and the Gang, two original guys. So, you know, they make the money. So what's the third drummer making? Like, they had a great setup, but Tommy would have had a nightmare if he saw this. I knew David Lee Roth from Tapers, and then you got this band opening up for him. It was the Nicholas Brothers. I think they did a couple numbers. You got three drummers. I mean, it was...
The best was walking up to the Van Halen concert. It was at Staples.
Yeah.
And we're walking up, and Brad Watson's just creeping on the street corner, and he's like, "Hey, Ingram." I'm like, "Oh, fuck. The great Watso. What the fuck are you doing here?"
Watso.
He's out of control.
It's awesome to see rando Comedy Store people out in public, huh?
Because they can't. No, not Brad when you're trying to pick up on a chick and he's talking about playing keyboards in a Cars cover band. I'm like, that's great. I love the Cars. But, like, I'm trying to get some pussy. He's talking about playing with Foghat and at the Summer Jam Festival.
Foghat.
I don't know, dude.
That is what it is. Hey, you got to come by my gig. Oh, yeah, you playing with the band? Yeah, yeah, we're doing some Pink Floyd covers in the back room at Cantor's.
Yeah, the Kibitz room. I'm playing with Tall, the bass player. We're doing Jackson Brown covers or something. I'm like, I think I was around when you first met your wife.
Yeah.
And I remember one night, because she would always come up here with that girl, Ricky, at the time.
No. It was she came with Victoria Goulet.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
but you
Ricky
know,
was the same era, though.
Ricky, something with an F. But like, I remember coming up upon you guys, and I don't think you guys had started dating. And I thought, okay, Rick's trying to like, I don't know, whatever. Name, you're working.
Yeah.
So I just walked on by. Brad Watson would still be talking to you, though. You would not be married with kids right now. Yeah. Brad Watson would be talking about playing with, Lynyrd Skynyrd at the Chumash Casino. Fuck!
I stepped in. I played a couple songs with Golden Earring.
Yeah, we played Twilight Zone, and I did a keyboard solo with Shabadoo Quinones from
That's
Electric
hilarious.
Boogaloo.
Rick, are you familiar with the second biggest touring Mr. cover band? They're the second biggest one?
Yeah, they're called Mr. We got a trip. Oh, no, I'm going to do it.
One of my favorite,
you'll be fine.
One of my favorite things in L.A. is when you walk into places and they have the fucking celebrity headshots on the wall. And it's like,
oh, yeah. Like
there's like
a,
two
like
of them. You're
cleaning.
Like, oh, that's pretty famous. And then you're like, who the fuck are these people? I walked into a Thai restaurant in the Valley one time, and all they had was a autographed by two members, Mr. headshot hanging up right by the door. I'm like, Mr.
That's amazing, Mr.
Well, I've got my headshot at Turner Liquors next
Ooh,
to Randolph and Chelsea
that's a big
Skidmore.
Deal.
That is. But it's right next to Lorenzo Lamas, who has four different headshots. Like,
smart.
So he's making this
one
a casting center.
Gil
yeah.
Turner, that's the very famous.
Well, there's two Turners. There's one by the Viper Room, which is where I go because I live on that street.
Oh,
and then
right,
there's
okay.
the one by Doheny. Yeah. yeah.
That's the famous
That's
one.
The one where like Charlie Sheen would go before.
Yeah. Alice Cooper.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, the whole nine yards. Yeah.
Love it. That's the big one. It's called Gil Turner's,
That's
right?
Gil Turner's. The one on Santa Monica and Larrabee is just Turner's. So apparently
oh, so you're in the knockoff.
I'm in the, Tony the Palestinian.
Is he a wrestler?
The eyebrows really sold it there.
Right.
I don't know. I can't do that.
I do a Rick Rude. I sell insurance, Sonny. I'm a businessman.
Big business. Man, that's so hot.
Well, I my whole act now is just ripping off 80s pro wrestlers and their cadence.
What?
Well, I just like the way they, they deliver
<I'm>
promos.
You just say ripping off and my act, and that's
well, no, I deliver jokes now as like Rick Rude and like, Nikita Koloff, the Russian who was actually from Minnesota.
Smart. Right. So it's an easy crossover.
Well, no one's going to get, I'm ripping these guys off because these young kids, the Gen Zers, like, they're into like.
They're TikToking. So as long as you don't, rip off a TikToker.
Well, that's why Nasser's selling out the 4 p.m. show at Zany's now.
No.
He's touring based on his TikTok following. No, I'm not kidding.
I've heard such. I was talking about what an absolute pile of shit Josh Nasser is recently. And
boy, you guys really go deep.
Some of the guys around the Comedy Store were like, oh, he's a great guy. I go, if we're talking about him as a human, huge pile of shit. But if we're talking about him as a comic, even worse. And then they're like, well, but he helped me buy my car. I go, get the fuck out of here with this opinion then.
I do like him as a person. I don't watch anyone's comedy just because I want to do it.
All?
You know, I'm a bad audience member because I want to do it.
No,
I just don't laugh at anything. Like, so I don't want to like.
That's not your fault. It's that everyone's not funny.
No, but you're a great. You guys are both two of my favorite comics. But I would never watch you just because. I would just sit there and go, oh, that's funny. And like when I watch hockey, that's a nice play, but I don't like go nuts unless there's
really?
A fight. Unless there's a fight, then I get a little
well, there was a good fight the other night with the Flyers. He hit him hard.
Yeah, well, they don't fight anymore.
I just watched a fight 2 nights ago with my brother Charlie.
But it's not the same.
They were trying to suck each other's dicks, Eleanor. This is Gen Z,
blood squirted
hockey
inside.
Players.
He uppercutted him and blood squirted inside.
Because they wear the shields.
It was
now.
An ex-Flyer fighting a Flyer.
So
it was great.
It's not like the 80s. Nothing's like the 80s.
No.
Back then, they didn't
the
wear
bullies,
helmets.
The bullies, the Broad Street bullies. But see, that's the whole thing. I've been joking about that. Like, we had the Broad Street bullies. I grew up with that, right? They were considered these horrible. Now, a bully is just somebody who leaves a nasty comment.
Right, on YouTube.
On Facebook
or
YouTube. Like,
yeah, I got death
threats.
You
have no idea what a bully is.
On Reddit, I got death threats when I beat Jimmy Carr. Like, don't ever come to the UK. You'll never make it off the plane. I'm like, what?
I'll go.
Yeah, I'll go
I'm
to the UK.
I'm holding a grudge.
Yeah,
I'll bring you, Earl. Don't worry. The Irish
the
kids will protect you.
Fucking take a baseball bat over there and show those cricket
That's right.
douches how we do things here in the
100%
the great states.
I've got to fend off the Danish and O'Neill fans. You know, I'm getting accosted by those people. Like, I'm in
Wait,
the bathroom.
Why are they mad at you?
They're out of control. Like,
the best.
I'm in
They're
the bathroom the other night upstairs, and this guy looks at me, and it's awkward. And he's like, "What? You're
you
all Skakel, right? You're daddy, man." I'm like, "Yeah." And he just looks at me and goes, "Mama, mama, mama, mama,
mama,"
and just left, just leaves.
Dude, that's funny. That's a fan.
But I want to go to the bathroom in peace. Like, you know.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't say mama, 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 mama on a podcast.
But those guys get me going.
Danish and O'Neill are so good at that.
They get me.
Did you do Beach Cops or just D&O?
Yeah, but it's too much ass eating talk about Beach Cops. I'm not into that stuff. So, like, they get me going.
I get all into the ass eating stuff.
Not me, man. Although I did
just
have
because
a...
it makes what's his name so uncomfortable. DeWitt.
Danish? Oh.
No, DeWitt.
He
Who
seems like he
DeWitt?
Gets off on it.
They have the
Joyce DeWitt. Hello!
Joyce DeWitt was a comic here.
Yeah. What?
She was a comic here.
Well, she's also in a Motley Crue tribute band playing Mick Mars right now.
Really?
No,
that's up. So bad. I was going to say, that's awful.
Brad Watson's in the band. So
you should come check us out.
I'm playing the keyboard for them, and I'm pretty good.
And then Friday.
Do you know White Lion?
Yeah,
it's cool, man.
I mean, you are right, though, when you see a Comedy Store person in like the regular world,
right,
they don't know how to act.
We look at each other like, oh, another Land of a Misfit Toy house. Yeah,
seeing Mickey
you get
at
out?
The post office, one of the most uncomfortable moments of my life. Yeah, Ricking Room. Loud as shit, Christmas season.
Holtzman in Manhattan. And
Taylor Negron picked up on me at Coons Hardware.
Okay, I like that. Those aisles are small. He can get you in there.
But I was looking
Coons
at shower
Hardware's
heads.
Aisles
it's a great hardware store.
The like, best I've ever been in, but it's the tiniest.
And he's like, I'm having a dinner party tonight. Would you like to come? And I'm like, oh, shit, this is the pizza guy from
Fast Times.
I'm like,
yeah. And you got hard, and you're like,
I got hard, and I'm like, yeah, who else is coming? He's like, just me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm good, dude.
I like that you go to the pizza guy and not Easy Money. Easy Money was phenomenal.
But Fast
Please
Times.
Tell me you like
I don't even know what that is.
Great Rodney movie where Taylor Negron's the husband of the daughter, and it's Joe Pesci and Rodney. And
oh, my. I put the bathrooms in this. How do you not know Easy Money?
Why?
That
is,
one I could play the cards
to. Taylor Negron's name on the Comedy Store van? That's what I've been trying
he
to
was
see.
Pretty big
was
back
big.
In the day.
He was huge.
Like around
and
Fast Times?
One of Mitzi's favorites, so.
Well, he was funny, like a Jim J. Bullock.
Yeah. He was in Punchline. He did all that stuff.
Barry Sobel.
Barry Sobel, Rick's boyfriend.
Speaking of my fucking big guy.
Yeah.
I can't even enjoy Tom Hanks now, just knowing that he and Sobel were friendly at any point.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but don't you think Tom Hanks didn't know how creepy Barry Sobel was? One of those guys.
I'm pretty sure you know.
Oh, no, I
don't
know.
I didn't know for a long time. I
had to warn people.
I didn't know he did that, but I also was a girl. I wasn't one of you.
I guess I lucked out in that I was a 19-year-old boy in Kansas that Barry thought, oh, this guy will never meet anyone that knows
me. Or never make it. That's the problem. People talk to people like they're never going to be someone.
And someone will.
Back. Yeah. They just think, oh, I'm in Kansas. This yeah. person won't nobody will know this person in 10 years.
When I found out that Barry Sobel blocked me on Twitter, I'm like, why the fuck is this guy blocking me? And so then I looked up my Twitter handle and the name Barry Sobel, and there was like four tweets from like 12 years ago where I'm like, Barry Sobel is a creep who tries to fuck young boys. And I'm like, oh, that's probably why he.
I was worried.
What are you worried about?
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I keep it real, but like, I might have held back with that information.
No. We put it all out there. He's told the story about everything in Kansas.
Well, I told one paid regular here who was asked to open for Barry at the Punchline, I think, in Frisco. I'm like, hey, you know, just...
be careful.
Watch
your cornhole, buddy.
He's, just be on guard. And he's like, oh, what do you mean?
Yeah. If I wasn't such an alcoholic and pothead when I was 19 and met Barry Sobel, he definitely would have taken advantage of me.
Wow.
He just kept trying. He was like, well, maybe we should smoke some more hash. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do it. I just kept getting higher, and then I could see him starting to fade, or I'm just like, let's do more. Huh, you really smoke a lot, huh?
Yeah, I mean, man, they're out there. We've all seen it. The predators are out there, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling
big
you.
Time.
I mean, they're
big time. I bet.
Take me somewhere out in nature. That's what he kept saying. Yeah. Get me out somewhere away from all this. I'm just like, I'm not taking you to fucking nature.
Well, I had a casting guy from Fox trying. He saw me bombing an open mic. And he's like, you're
ooh,
great.
And, terrific.
Yeah, but I was so
come
stupid.
Come on my trailer.
No, he's just come. He's the head guy at Fox. Did like X-Files, Millennium, all that stuff.
Oh, I think I might know who
and
that is.
His office was beautiful. Had a marble shower. Like, this guy was legit.
Wow, you really went in there.
And
okay.
So he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get you some auditions.
Had a heart on.
Well, he lured me in by saying, Brittany Murphy, they're doing the table read for King of the Hill next door. The original, like, the pilot.
Yeah,
So I'm like, yeah, I'd love to meet Brittany Murphy. And so he goes in there, and he's like going like this and stretching. And I start stretching. It sounds like a bit. On my word, it's not. So I start kind of stretching with him, and then he's like.
You're like, are we doing yoga?
I'm like, this guy's huge. This guy could be my break. Like, yeah. I could get on Millennium with Lance Henriksen.
Right.
And so he starts unzipping his pants. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I ran a marathon and my balls are bruised. I'm like, where's Brittany Murphy, man? Like,
wait a minute. I ran. This was the line.
I swear.
I ran a marathon.
And my testicles
and my
are bruised. And he wanted me to like.
Now, see, that I'd have to see.
But like, that goes to the predatory nature of the business.
I want to see the bruises.
So then.
And if he doesn't have bruises, then I'm going to do like a speed bag on his balls.
Well, then he takes me into the table read. And everyone looked up to this guy because he was the guy.
Of course.
And he's in his pajamas. He was an eccentric.
Wait, I'm sorry.
I'm not making any of this up.
But he took all his clothes off in front of you and got in pajamas.
Yeah, he had
did
like
he have bruises on his balls.
No, more towards his rectum. Rectum. I killed him. Hello.
Hi-oh.
So he takes me in, and I remember Brittany Murphy, Mike Judge, all these people, and they look at us like, oh, they probably looking back,
they
probably thought I was
fucked.
His boyfriend.
Yeah.
So I gave him one more chance.
Smart.
Because this guy was huge.
Yeah, you don't want to just close off opportunities.
This guy was.
This is what happens in Hollywood.
But and I'm not naive, but like I was in this case.
It had been long enough since.
Not naive, hard up.
Since Revenge of the Nerds 2, Barry Sobel's last working gig, that I was not buying into.
He was good in that. I will say that. I mean.
You know.
So you went back.
So I say, he's like. His name's Randy. He's deceased, so I don't want to like.
It's fine.
She's like, let's do lunch at my house. I'm like, it's got to be lunch. It's got to be in the daytime. So I go over there.
Sun's out.
Same shtick. Oh, you're really funny. You got a great blah, 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 blah. And then
how are your balls? Are they still bruised?
I said, hey, man, I ran a marathon too this weekend. Oh, blah, 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 blah. So he's got this honey wagon.
I don't want a honey wagon.
Right. You saw him, and I'm dying up here. And it's beautiful. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. He's like, yeah, Duchovny gave me that for X-Files. Go check it out. I'm like, but you got to stay here. So I go in the honey wagon. I'm by myself.
What is he saying when you're saying, but you got to stay here?
He's like, oh yeah, no problem, dude. I'll just read a script. And so I'm in this honey wagon. It's got like a marble shower. This guy was in the marble showers. It's like Cal King bed, like really nice. And all of a sudden, I hear the door open, and I didn't want to turn around. And I turn around, and he's like grabbing his balls, going like this. I'm like, hey, man, where's Brittany Murphy? Hello! And then,
did you coddle his balls at all?
Well, obviously, no. My credit on IMDb is pretty spacious.
So, had you done it?
He made Earl murder Brittany Murphy after that.
But it goes to, like, you know. You can only imagine what happens in this business with like good-looking people, like,
yeah,
girls.
I've had quite a few,
guys.
And I'm not even cute, you know. So I get it.
Yeah, but you probably like know how to lay it down
laugh.
On a hammer.
I know. I would laugh. I would uncontrollably laugh. A guy, we were at his house. My friend liked his friend. He had a big giant house in the hills. They took us up there in a Rolls Royce. My friend was like, "Hey, can I drive?" And the guy was like, "Yeah." And she's driving down Sunset. We're 21, right. 22 maybe. We're driving down Sunset. She basically stole this guy's convertible. Maybe it was a Corniche, not a Rolls, but whatever. So we're flying down Sunset. We go to their house. She's walking around with him. He's legit. They dated for a while. My guy is a little bit of an older producer. We go up. He's giving me a tour of the house. And I'm thinking, it's pretty cool.
I know what you mean.
We're together. You know, my friend's down there. She's with him. You know, we go upstairs. He goes, look at this view. I'm looking at the view. I turn around. He's balls ass naked. And then I go, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm laughing like, that's awful. Then he goes, it make you uncomfortable? I put the pillow over it. And I was like, what? That's even worse.
Did he run a marathon?
I go, dude, you gotta put your fucking pants. You look ridiculous.
Did he have a big dick?
I don't know. I don't remember seeing it. It was just this old guy.
It doesn't sound like
it was
very big.
Was it
Jeff Ross's
David
friend?
Dudebran or some shit like that. I don't know what he did, but he was Israeli. I mean, I was just like, dude, no, you look ridiculous. And then I just laughed at him. But there was no way he was gonna like. Manhandle me.
But you don't know, though. I mean,
I would have threw him off the fucking balcony. It would have been hysterical.
Eleanor, there's a chance Eleanor raped him. Better chance.
If he was hotter,
yeah.
I would have showed him my bruise balls from running a marathon.
I mean, whatever, man. I'm down for anyone who's.
It's not just that.
I mean,
we've had this like continual question. We've only done four of these so far, I think, whatever. But we were talking about if comedy went away and or the comedy store. I know you're royalty, so it really doesn't matter if everything went
away.
I got
money.
You're still...
I don't need this place. Trust me. You think I come here for the $20?
What would you do other than comedy?
I'd own a marathon business.
Right. Ball bruising.
Would you?
Skakel's ball bruising.
I like this. I'll bruise some guys.
I'd probably own a bar. I'm a night owl, so yeah. I would own. Like, I have a few bar idea. Maybe you guys could seed money. I want to own a gay bar called the Cockatoo.
I like this.
I like
all
it.
The door
Are they doing stand up?
No, we're gonna do Supernova on the roof. Maybe you guys can come watch a show. Come watch a show and maybe Sarah Tell will get back to you with the book and you can be sandwiched in between two roast battle comics.
Very angry.
Fuck!
About this roast battle.
The Mine Shaft, DJ Ramrod.
Yeah. The Bone Zone.
I just see Earl in like an old folks home and then people come in and throw trigger words at him like roast battle.
Ross.
Or lip shit.
Yeah.
Or whatever
what
you
a
say.
Great guy. Then so much for the comedy community. It's probably next season of Roast Battle. He's going to battle the guy in the Kings, Andrzej Kopitar from Slovenia. Fuck,
hey,
man.
He might lose that one.
Well, no. There'll be a tie. History of Roast Battle, there was never a tie until Jeff eats it against Blake Griffin. Oh, well, we'll call it a tie. Okay.
Earl, I love this triggering. It's so good.
Fuck, man. This business would be right if people were more like Eleanor and Ingram.
Jeff Ross, why do you hate the children at the hospital, man?
I'm not going to say
that. Oh, my God. That's awful. Don't talk like that. Get rid of it, Tommy.
I love
Cookie,
Jeff and
I miss
Powder.
You. All right, Earl.
So I got the Gash Station, which is the lesbian bar.
Oh, this is another bar. I like the Gash Station.
And it's Gash, not gas.
I get it,
Gash. And then it's going to be attached next door. It's going to be a straight bar called the Bone Zone.
Ooh.
Yep.
And that's where you'll be most of the time.
We're going to do an open mic from 6
with
to 8.
With a hard-on from watching 80
Watson
movies.
On the piano. Yeah.
Watson on the piano, cock-blocking everyone in the room, along with Boston Jeff.
I like that.
You know Jeff Myrow?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, he's
Brad. I love you, Jeff. And I know you're going to watch this, but Jesus, I've had so many girls on the hook here, and you're telling me about the drummer from Boston. It's like, fuck, I'm operating.
The
I don't care.
The band or the city.
If you know Sib Hashian, I'm a big fan, but I'm trying to get it in, man. And you're talking about his drumming fills on Don't Look Back. Man, these people up here have no social skills.
Guys,
Rick was
let
talking
Earl
to Corinne. I was like, this guy's working. I'm going to go, and I think there's Elizabeth Croydon. I'm going to go talk to her for a few minutes.
Smart.
Man, oh,
big
man.
Titties on Elizabeth.
Yeah, but B.O. that could knock down 3 buildings. I tell you, my pee-pee went down quicker than Tower 2 when she took off her shirt.
All she had to do was play fucking Cobra, and you would have been back up in no time.
Yep. Well, I mean, or Commando, Vernon
Commando.
Wells.
Vernon Wells in the mesh top.
I had him on the podcast, too. Like he
was it good?
He had a good, like, I try and get these 80s guys who are bitter, but not that bitter.
Okay. I like bitter a little bit.
Well, bitter's funny if they get it. Like Vernon
Wells. As
long
as it's not me.
He gets it. Like, do you have a spot right now?
Yeah.
No, you can go. I'll do this. Go ahead.
Well, Vernon Wells gets it. He's like, I was in Mad Max. I love Rick Ingram. This guy keeps it real.
Rick Ingram's going
best
to kill
crowd
him in the
work.
Main room.
All you open mic hacks who try and rip off his crowd work, and then you eat a shit burger for 20 minutes, and then wonder why he gets 4 spots a week and you get none. Well, I could think about 7 reasons why you don't get any up here.
Wow. I'll tell you this. You did ask us to let you get warmed up, and that was good.
Well,
that
I
was
just,
good right there.
I love you.
That
I
promo
love,
was great.
But you guys are real.
Yeah.
And if this business were full of people like you.
If we could get more real people in the business, we.
I wouldn't be this angry.
No one would. I have no idea what the model is that they're trying to stay after. Like, put certain people in, certain people out. I don't get it.
Talent
is probably number, I don't know, 100 on the list. You have to have 100 other things before you have talent.
I think you have, in Los Angeles, I don't know about New York. I'll assume it's the same way, but I think in a lot of these LA lineups, you look at these lineups and you're like, I don't get this. Like, how is that person going on when they eat it? It's
but
management.
But you're looking like, oh, they have credits.
We joke
about the store becoming the credit store, comedy store.
But I get that, like.
Well, we need to put asses in the seats.
Yeah, I mean.
So if you're a person that has credits, like you're saying, they might bomb a lot, but they also sell tickets. So then, like, you and me and Rick benefit off their.
Oh yeah.
Because right now we're not the. Ticket sellers, if you will. For the store, pretty much people come to see us.
I think
we have some fan base here. Absolutely.
But in, I think Emily is doing a great job because, like, she walked into a fucking pandemic, 10 headliners leave, probably another 20 comics.
People still terrified to come out and perform.
But, like, there's a big group of comics who, like, chose to stay in L.A. But they can't afford to live here unless they do the road, so they're not in town.
Right.
So, like,
100%.
I think she's unfairly being compared to Adam, who walked into the complete opposite of anything.
Well, Adam had a shit show too,
but
not,
I mean,
not pandemic shit show. That's a higher level, definitely.
Adam was like, he walked into like a 2-14 football team where anything he did was going to be better.
Right. Right. It definitely was a shit show, though.
Well, I mean, Tommy turned his back on the industry.
Well, Mitzi did that years ago, but that's not it at all. And I don't think Adam adhered to the industry. Adam just put the lineups that he liked. He put the comics on that he liked.
But I think Adam...
Because even industry used to hit him up and say, hey, my client wants to go... And he was like, that's not how it works. You come showcase. He still made you do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I think is pretty amazing. I mean, Tommy... I remember when they brought Jason Sudeikis in.
Right.
That was the best. And they were like, hey, he needs to work out for whatever. And he's like, right. Well, he's not a regular. Why don't you put him in the belly room? I was like, that's amazing. But Mitzi would have done the same thing.
Well, he told Rob Schneider to come on Potluck.
Who?
Tommy.
That's amazing. Mitzi would have done the same thing. She's not a pay regular. It's not a Comedy Store comic. Mitzi literally, like Adam brought in Spade.
Right.
Mitzi would have made him come on Sunday.
But I think Adam was like, okay, if I get Rob Schneider in here, David Spade will come. And then Sandler will come. And now Sandler doesn't do stand-up that much. So,
right.
But Swartzen maybe will come. Like, Swartzen, he had like,
Swartzen's an excellent comic, just for some reason didn't work here. But I love Nick Swartzen. Absolutely.
Oh, he's great.
One of my favorites.
So I just think that...
But that's why we joke and call it the credit store, because he did pull in these comics.
Oh, yeah.
That weren't getting spots. Even Kevin Nealon wasn't getting spots because Mitzi just wasn't on his wasn't on the radar.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And then Adam brought him in. I happen to adore Kevin Nealon. I think he's great. So I think what Adam did was smart.
But I think Adam also set a signal to, like, I was pretty unfamous at the time.
Sure.
I'm probably unfamous now. But I was the first person he passed with Candace, and you.
That's right.
There's probably 100 comics he could have passed that were more famous. Probably a thousand.
Absolutely. You guys got passed when he wasn't passing people because he was so overwhelmed with all these comics wanting to be here.
Oh, I
and
can't
then
imagine.
Rogan coming back.
Oh, that's huge.
Getting Rogan back, which is something Adam did.
Oh yeah. Got Joey back. And...
Yeah, got Joe Diaz back. Got all those giant podcasters, if you will. And then the lines were around the corner, and then everybody wanted to be here. But he didn't let everybody in, but he let who he liked in, for sure.
And as much as
Which
I hate
amazing.
This... Well, oh, yeah. I mean, Adam, I don't think gets the credit for turning this place around. And
right.
And as much as I hate the show now, Roast Battle was like the first show... Where it was like a must-see show.
Yeah.
Like, we got to come on a Tuesday night. It's wild up there.
It was fun. It was. I mean, I only did it a few times as a judge, but I felt that energy every
Tuesday. It was
Tuesday.
Amazing.
It definitely had the energy.
It was like people
Moses
just,
really put his heart and soul in
it. Oh, he was amazing and could have been a total ball hog and just been the host.
100%.
And he didn't have to have the wave or me or even really judges. He could have just...
Yeah,
stole
he made
everything.
It a fun show. He made it an entertaining show.
Oh,
you guys would kill it. You and Whitney and Whitney Rice.
Yeah, she well,
excellent.
She was great, but there
Who
was just
the other guy. He's funny too.
The Saudi prince.
Yes.
Yeah, my replacement.
He was good too, but
he I think is better for the sanitized version of the show. I think I was better in the Wild West days.
Got it.
Where it was just, I mean, you know, those before Jeff got involved, it was like Fight Club. Like
and the
like,
wave, we even had one of them get Me Too'd out of it.
Haiti, what a shock that Haiti would. He was out of control.
I love you, Haiti.
He was scaring.
Get your shit together.
That's not happening. I mean, we were filming. This is a true story. And since he's not really affiliated with the store, I feel I can say
he wasn't. Yeah,
we're filming the Roast Battle commercial for season one, and Haiti is staring at two Comedy Store waitresses who, you know, it was just whoever wanted to show up could be in the commercial, and he just looks at them and goes, I think I would like to rape you. Like, it was like so, and he wasn't kidding though, like he was, but that's from Haiti where like.
Was he joking?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, Jesus.
He was literally, and the waitresses look at me, and I'm like, it's just Haiti.
Because we used him, we did a show, remember the man show?
Yeah.
Okay, so we tried to pitch a show called The Woman Show, and we were kind of doing the same thing, and we had Haiti as one of the guys we like, you know how they would have girls,
right.
the juggies jumping around? So we would have hot guys doing it. And Haiti was one of our hot guys.
Well, he had a great body.
Oh, yeah.
And a huge dick.
Oh, yeah. We had him laying on the ground. We had him used him as a coffee table. I mean, we were pretty awful to him. But we were doing what the guys would do
he
to
loved
a girl.
It.
Of course. Well, you do it to a girl, and the girl's like, okay, cool. You do it to a guy, and he's like, fuck yeah, let's do this.
Oh, yeah.
fucking use me, right?
A hole's a hole.
Guys are sickening.
Guys are pigs. Like,
I shouldn't be in this room alone with you.
Yeah, but I respect you.
Oh, good.
Didn't I open for you in Scottsdale?
Ooh,
hello.
Hi-o.
Have I ever been inappropriate with you?
No, and you are inappropriate, Earl.
Well, it's on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud. No, I'm just kidding.
Check out his podcast. Very funny.
I mean, you've been a guest on
I've been a guest. I had a blast on it. I remember laying on your couch talking. It was so relaxing.
I mean, I had to get rid of that couch at one point because it was just there was more DNA on that couch.
Hold on a second.
It was I had to get a new couch because that couch was disgusting. Like, look at 300 episodes plus of just comics, pedophiles, maybe one and the same, some of them.
100%.
80s metal guys.
But you've had some great guests on there, aside from everybody from the 80s. You've had some cool guests.
I mean, during the pandemic, though, I was against Zoom just because I like being in a room with you. And,
agreed.
I had burnt the guy from Commando, the guy from Cobra. You know, they're not going to come to my house. So I was like, well, I'll do a Zoom. And,
that's a better time. Yeah.
Well, I just started to realize, like, some of these actors who, you know, there's this one 80s actor I've always wanted to interview, and he lives in, like, Portugal now. So,
okay.
For the acting opportunities. Okay.
You're terrible.
No, I mean,
did he really say that?
Yeah, well, it's even worse.
Oh, my God.
The guy who played Nick the Dick in Bachelor Party. Remember that?
Sure, of course.
Is that the footlong? And then some.
He
moved to Fort Lauderdale for the acting. What the fuck? What are we talking about? Fort Lauderdale.
I'm still not over Rick not seeing Easy Money.
That's crazy, and not he'd never seen Raw Deal.
Well, that I never saw, but Easy Money's different. Comedy's different than an action film?
Well, that was a movie Schwarzenegger was forced to do. I think he is very much the Roy Scheider story where.
Oh, he said he never saw Commando either.
Well, yeah. Well, those were kind of under the radar movie. Commando's a little more known because it's shown a lot on cable. Raw Deal is like that's like Stallone's
that's
over the top. You know,
oh, but I've seen anything Stallone's done.
Stallone's like, I'm such a fan of his.
And same. And he doesn't like Rockies. I mean, I watch Paradise Alley. Everything you can think. Anything that Rocky or Stallone ever did.
He did so many great, like Nighthawks.
Nighthawks. So good.
And Rutger Hauer. And like, I'm like.
Yeah, I'm a Stallone fan. It's my pseudo-husband.
I'm a fan of how he got shit done. Like
exactly.
Even Rambo, he was told, no one wants to see a movie about a suicidal Vietnam vet in 1984, I think that was. Mm. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it. And no,
I'm doing it.
And he's still doing
First
it.
First Blood, excellent.
Fist. What else? I mean, he had some stinkers like Rhinestone.
Hey. That was still good.
You know, Over the Top is so bad, it's good.
Over the Top is Over the Top, and I enjoy it.
I mean, a two-hour movie about arm wrestling fat dudes. I would love to be in the room when he was pitched that. Like,
How he pitched it, or he...
Or how he was, like, I'm assuming it. Cobra was a big hit.
Cobra, yeah.
It really was a huge movie. And then, hey, we got a little while before Tango and Cash. You want to do this movie called Over the Top? Sure. He didn't even ask. He was like, yeah, I'll do it.
I did one night at the Laugh Factory get to roast Bridget Nielsen.
Oh, she's great.
First of all, I thought, seeing her in person, I thought... Like, I'm on stage, and I was like, you look like a broke Bridget Nielsen. Right. She was like, I am Bridget Nielsen. I was like, oh, shit. And then I just repped.
I mean, shit.
From everything I knew, whatever. And then she was like, who is this? I like this girl.
I want to fuck
me. I would be with her just because she was with my lover.
I'm Stallone. And... I almost got run over.
She was great in Beverly Hills Cop.
Great bad. I loved the bad guy in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yeah,
he had the bad skin.
Excellent.
That was
he
was a working actor. You know,
I can't think of his name, though.
That was his biggest role. Because if you look up a guy like that on IMDb, he's literally got hundreds of films, mostly in Europe. But that was his big American, you know, stereotypical... bad guy, you know, role.
Do you think that'll go away, the stereotypical things?
Well, I think
bad guys, this, that, and the other thing.
Now there's just too much CGI and special effects where that you don't need a good bad guy. You just let's do a car chase where, you know, Vin Diesel's in space. I think the last Fast and Furious, they were literally in space doing a scene.
No.
Which is why I love the 80s bad guys. Because they were like...
Because it's real-ish.
Well, if you look at... If you watch Cobra, you kind of feel like you're watching a documentary. Like, it's so... There's no special effects. Like, there's just... And there's no budget because, you know...
It's so bad.
They had to film everything at night.
It's so bad, it's good. Yeah.
I mean, that's what killed Crime Story was... The only reason NBC wanted to cancel it was because it was costing $1 million an episode, mm-hmm. which back then was...
A lot.
Crazy. Because it was a period piece, so you had to have the vintage cars, the suits, and it was just too much money. Nowadays, like I watched Creed 2.
Sure.
And it looked like a video game.
Yeah, it's a little CGI. Yeah.
I didn't hate the bad guys. The guy who played Drago's son.
Yeah.
Just looked like just a random Russian huge dude.
Yeah.
By the way, Drago almost ran me over the other day.
In real life.
On Holloway and La Cienega.
Why didn't you let him?
He was driving.
Just to get him on your podcast.
I'd do anything to get him. I tried to get Stallone's business manager on at Bel Air Country Club, and I said, because this girl was probably fucking the guy. She's like, hey, can you get me on at Bel Air Country Club? I'm like, who's it for? It was Stallone's manager. I said, I'll make the calls. I got the connections, but I want Stallone on my podcast for 20 minutes. I'll do a 20-minute Zoom so we can talk about not Rocky, not Rambo, not The Expendables, but I want to talk about Cobra and Nighthawks.
Nighthawks is excellent.
Well, Cobra is an interesting story because it's the original script for Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh.
So Stallone got it. He was supposed to be Axel Foley, and he's like, this is too funny. I'm not funny. I want to make it violent.
Yeah.
So they did a 3-hour, I guess the original print of Cobra's 3 hours, and it had an X rating.
How dare he say he's not funny after doing Oscar?
I mean, like, I love Stallone. Like, just on Rambo and Rocky alone. Like, Nighthawks.
Nighthawks is up there.
And Copland. Did you ever see Copland?
Of course. One of my favorites.
He held his own. Look at that cast.
You blew it. I could do it everywhere. I love it.
De Niro.
Excellent.
Harvey Keitel.
Excellent.
Rappaport. Is he still doing comedy?
No, he's busy ratting on the NBA. Disgraziato.
Unbelievable. Who's doing comedy
next? I don't do rats. I don't go for rats. You dish it out, you got to learn to take it.
I love Rat. It's my favorite band.
Well, Rat is your favorite band, and I always had a crush on the lead singer.
He still looks good, man.
I mean, believe it.
Given a guy who's like 70? Led a full life. I mean, he's...
No, 60?
I mean, I'm 53. He's got to be, I'll say, 10 years older than me. So early 60s.
Okay. I'll take that.
R.I.P. Tawny Katane, another Inappropriate Earl podcast member.
Beautiful girl.
Deceased.
I used to see her at Kookaroo all the time.
Yeah.
I'd be like, God damn,
she
you're
lived
still hot as hell.
She was like female Tommy Lee. Like, she fucked a
fucking
lot of dudes.
Amazing. R.I.P., sister.
So, you know, I'm known as the podcast Grim Reaper because Piper was supposed to do my podcast.
Oh, maybe I'll do it.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff Ross, you want to come do my podcast? fucking guy.
That's a death threat.
So you've already done it once. It exhausted you talking about Charlie Barnett for 12 minutes. I'm sorry. Because I love Charlie Barnett.
Yeah. Why would you? But what? You had him on? You had.
I had
on.
Jeff on to talk, not about roast battle or roasting, but I'm obsessed with Charlie Barnett, who most comics or comic fans probably go, who's that? He was going to get SNL.
Yeah.
But he was not dyslexic. He couldn't read.
100%.
So he skipped the last audition because the cue cards, I guess they had a test with cue cards.
Yeah.
And Eddie Murphy got the gig. So do we have to go? I mean, you tell me when we're wrapping.
I think we do, yeah.
So Charlie Barnett, I had Jeff Ross talk for about 12 minutes before he looked like he ran an ultra marathon and tapped out, and I took him to the falafel place by my street. We used to be friends. I don't know what happened, but like...
Barnett, wasn't he in DC Cab?
He was in DC Cab with the Barbarian Brothers.
Amazing.
Where I used to go to the same tanning
but
salon.
He was one of Mitzi. He performed here.
Was he a paid regular?
I believe so.
And he was also in Miami Vice. He was in Miami Vice had about 90 episodes. He was in about 10. Uh-huh. And I guess he was on drugs.
Terrific actor, but you could tell he was fucking crazy. He was obsessed with Irene Cara.
Yeah.
In DC.
Oh, I love Irene Cara, the dream.
Irene Cara. And he had his curlers. Oh, please, I love Charlie. He's killer.
Jamar Neighbors reminds me so much of Charlie Barnett.
Jamar Neighbors could be one of the biggest outbreak stars if we could get him in the right,
but it's that
roles
same
like right.
Andy Kaufman, like just
yep.
rein it in just a smidge.
He's brilliant. I agree.
But
I agree.
Yeah. So Jeff had done comedy with Charlie Barnett and Chappelle at I think it's Washington Square Park in New York, where Charlie Barnett was like the only one to sell out that. Park. So, you know, when Chappelle says, that's my mentor, that's how good Charlie Barnett was. So.
100%.
Do you have a spot upstairs?
I do.
Oh, fuck. Well, that's...
very exciting.
Who do you get to follow?
I don't know. But I like to make it a surprise party.
So. Oh, I love it. Eleanor Kerrigan. This is one of the best. You know, we've talked a lot of shit.
Earl Skagel, people.
I mean, Eleanor was in the back with Don Richardson once. I know what the hell is going on.
Don Richardson was my roommate. I love Don Richardson.
Well, I love when I had Tommy on the first episode real fast. And so we do about 2.5 hours. I was like, I basically kicked him out. I'm like, dude, I got to go. I got a gig. I'm opening up for Fraser Smith in Huntington Beach. And
I'm about to kick you out of here. Go ahead.
It's like a half hour talking to me off air. Well, man, she told me to steal. Just don't overdo it.
She did. He did say that. He said, well, Mitzi told me it was okay. And I was like, to bankrupt the place?
I'm pretty sure a Jewish business owner did not say.
Never said that.
But, you know.
Hey, Mitzi was wild. She's not your typical Jewish business owner.
Right.
She would pay me insane amounts from time to time for doing extra stuff for her. And every manager would be like, how do you? I had health insurance. Right. No one had health insurance. Like maybe two other people. I had health insurance. I was just a waitress, technically, and her assistant, but not the way you think. So she was wild like that. She would do weird shit.
Well, I think,
but I don't think she would ever say, take a little off the top for yourself. She might pay you and that check bounce.
Right.
That'll happen.
Well, I remember when Duncan Trussell was the booker, and he's like, hey, do you want a showcase? I'm like, oh, my God, a showcase for Mitzi? It's like my dream. Like, it's every comic's dream.
Hey, cool, Earl. That's great, man.
And he calls me back the next day. He's like, yeah, she said she doesn't want a showcase. I'm like, well, she's never seen me. She probably doesn't even know who I am. She's like, yeah, she said she didn't want to showcase a Kennedy. I'm like, well, I'm not. I'm like, I have nothing to do with that family. Like, I'm.
He's a Kennedy. They're on the wrong side. Yeah, okay, like, they're against small business.
I love you, Eleanor. I love.
I love you, Earl. Thank you, Inappropriate Earl. Check his podcast out.
Jelly's on HBO Max.
Yes, Jelly's HBO Max. Get in there. Anything else you have? You got dates coming up or anything?
I'm not gonna lie, I don't. But I just want to say to all my fans out there who think I'm bitter and angry, I just want to say,
he is.
Support Roast Battle and go on roastmastergeneral.com. And I just can't think of a better person than that to be in this business with. And I'm really honored to have worked with him.
You should change your podcast name to Angry Earl. Well, Bitter Earl.
But I don't want to.
Instead of Inappropriate.
See, I don't think it's bitter. I think it's honest. There's a big difference.
Honest, bitter.
Honest Earl. But I don't want to.
Honest Earl.
Well, I
like
mean.
Like Honest Abe, but a Kennedy.
See, that's what I don't like about the business. This. If you're honest, you're bitter.
I'm honest. I'm pretty bitter.
But I got a big dick. I got money.
I have a bigger dick.
Well,
Earl does have a big dick. I've seen it.
I got a
in a picture.
Yeah. No, I can't do that anymore.
I have it on my phone still.
I'll put
it up online.
If you don't have my dick pic on your phone, then you're not important. Trust me on that.
I'll be at Skankfest this week in Houston. I believe it's sold out, but whatever. Come out or hang out. Houston, we'll have a blast. And then I have a bunch of other dates I'll put up on my website. I stink at life. Thank you. Come see Rick Ingram and myself at the Comedy Store and Earl. When we're in town, we're always here at the store.
Thursday and Friday. I'm one of the comics who got a spot on Friday, so sorry,
Earl,
Rick.
Got a spot on Friday. Come see him. Thank you, Emily. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Guys, Comedy Store Podcast is back. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Please leave us your negative and positive comments, mostly negative.
You can follow me at Rick Ingram. I only accept positivity in my life.
The new Rick is here, and EJ Kerrigan still with the negativity, but like and subscribe.